You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Hen Day built. Daryl, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And actually, before we go any further, I think what you're doing with the suit stuff is a great cause. Please mark us down for one as well. We'll definitely cover one.
Oh, awesome. I got Ricardo's already in as well. So there, boom, we're already
awesome.
Done too.
Let's
so,
get it rolling.
Hey, that's great. I appreciate it. So now with Perfect Skating, tell me about, because you guys have been around a long time, I noticed, but you came into Edmonton recently.
Yeah, so we've been in Edmonton since last summer, kind of arrived and started offering some programming. But so yeah, we're new to the area, but we're not new. It started in the Ottawa area a little bit prior to 2010. Perfect Skating was started by our founder, Sean Allard, who's now the full-time performance and movement coach for the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
So Sean, the story of Perfect Skating is Sean started as a pro player in Europe and eventually switched to the role of coaching. And as he moved into coaching and started looking through the lens of a coach, he was surprised at how many players, even at the level, like the professional level, struggled with movement. There were so many deficiencies that he saw and just the reliance on power all the time that said, you know what, like there's got to be a better way to do this. Movement and skating has been taught or had been taught the same way for decades. So with the advancement of so many other things, there had to be a better way to do this. And so that led into a bunch of research and partnerships with universities around Ottawa, purchase of 3D motion capture tech, in order for us to develop a science-based system of movement and performance for players. And over time, that's led to a partnership, with, you know, something we value a lot, our partners at CCM Hockey, where they allow us to use their labs, continue to get data and refine our system. And that's led now to us working with over 350 NHL athletes as well as thousands of minor hockey players.
Okay, so now I want to get to skating. So, you know, many of us grow up, it's still out there now, the term power skating. You got to get your kids into power skating. Power skating is very good, and I think there definitely is benefits to it,
yeah.
No question. But how have things changed and evolved? When, like, is power skating at times maybe misdiagnosed in how we look at it and what's the benefit?
Yeah, so that's a great question. If everything else is equal, then power is important, right?
Okay.
Of course, the athlete who's more powerful, if everything else is equal, is going to have an advantage. But power increase definitely isn't the thing that I find most players need to focus on initially. So if skating was just all about how powerful someone is, Connor McDavid should look like a world-class powerlifter. And we know that's not the case. And actually, our company's had the pleasure of working with Connor. Our founder, Sean, works with Connor fairly consistently in the summer. And so we know it's far more about edge control, body control, mass control, stride turnover rate, and those things versus just pure focus on power. A good analogy I like to use sometimes is like golf, right? So if we were trying to increase our power, you know, you and me on our driver, and we stepped up to the tee box and we just tried to swing harder.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that that's actually going to occur.
No.
We know that we need to focus on weight shift and using the proper, you know, kinetic chain, the firing of the kinetic chain, and then even club face, right? Like, I know I'm not the greatest golfer, so I know opening and closing the club face just a tiny bit, and it's all over the map, right? So a really, really good comparison with that is people forget, like, players really need to focus on the exceptional control at the level of the skate blade. Hockey's this weird sport, right? Like, we're asking players to transfer their athleticism into the ice, not through something the width of a shoe, but through something the width of a skate blade. And
yeah.
So if they don't have that meticulous control of the skate blade and feel,
okay,
and understanding of center mass and weight shift and all those things, then they're never going to be able to transfer all that power into the ice. So, you know, the very first thing we actually start to work on is the meticulous control and balance and feel in the skate blade.
So with young players, then what are the common mistakes you see from young kids?
Yeah, so if we start talking about the youngest athletes, like let's say kids between, I don't know, 7 and 10 years old, for example. Obviously each player is different, but kids, whether they're taught this or intuitively they learn it just by feel, like players know they need to start to bend their knees when they skate,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we're talking the youngest players, so they start moving and they just bend their knees, but it almost makes it so they're sitting more into a chair.
Right.
Right now. So once they're bending the knees and that weight shift happens toward their heels, their body needs to find its balance. So in order to find its balance, what we often see is that from the hips up, the torso, it turns into this forward fold kyphotic type posture. And then once that happens, the issue is that the muscles you need to fire to skate well aren't going to do so. And it's a really tough position to handle the puck, etc. So the first thing I find with young players is they really just need to start to work on hip angle and making sure they understand how to get pressure in towards their toes properly and find that balance again. It's something that's really common. Obviously not all players, but yeah. Something that, you know, if I had to generalize stuff that we see with the youngest athletes, that's what we start to see. And then if we kind of talk about the next age group of players, so, you know, after they've begun their initial journey on the ice, you know, one common thing that we end up hearing a lot is, you know, parents will say, my kid, their motor, they need to work on their motor. They struggle with their motor. And, you know, I'll tell them, like, your players very rarely go into a game being like, you know what I want to do? I want to skate slowly today and I don't want to try my hardest or move my fastest. And so what we see there is often just, they need to work on improving how they shift their weight a little bit. A lot of times when we start to think about transitioning between skills on the ice, they might be able to do something well in isolation, in a controlled setting. But once it's in more of a game-like scenario, often they just really struggle with where their weight shift is happening. So they get put on their heels a lot, and it starts to slow them down, and they struggle with that motor. So we first have to start by removing any of the technical issues, so any of their technique problems. And then once that's fixed, then we can really start to push pace with them.
Daryl Marchuk joins us from Perfect Skating. We're just talking about, now, I've heard from some people that a lot of kids, until you have the proper strength, it's really hard to be able to be like technically sound as a skater, right? Like some of it's going to be athleticism. Now, is that accurate or is that misleading?
I think there's some level of accuracy to that. So again, we have to look at each individual player is different. So there are certain players, if they at a really young age, they hit a huge growth spurt and they just may not have the strength versus their body weight. There can be some struggles there. But honestly, I find it's more about teaching them how to understand their body.
Okay.
So if you can have a player off the ice hold a, you know, I'll give you an example, just a really great athletic stance, athletic position, 1 foot, they can keep their head level, they can keep their knee in the spot it should be, the ankle flexion where it should be, and they can balance on 1 foot independently, then there probably shouldn't be that many issues with their overall stride mechanics.
So now you explain that to me. Can you stand up right in front of me so I can see like what that motion would be like to see? And I know it's for radio for people, but I'm curious. I just want to see how basic it is. And would this be something, because as somebody who coaches, so you're staring, you get into the stride and you're going in and out with your foot back is like you're pushing a skate.
Yeah.
All right. And you don't want to see them leaning too far one way or leaning too far the other.
Yeah.
So that should be something that every amateur coach should do with his players.
Yeah. Like I'll say this. We, you know, sometimes we have young players come in and parents are like, well, you know, my kid's struggling on the ice. And I'm like, well, if they can't balance on 1 foot off the ice. Then they're
they
probably not going to be able to balance
on a blade.
Yeah. And then like to go a little bit deeper into your question. So then the next step is like, you know, there are different physical development, you know, levels and the curve is different for every player.
Yes.
So from a technique standpoint, the goal is you can work on that technique. And then, yeah, sometimes, as you know, kids are going to get hit growth spurts and times where they're going to find more strength. So as long as we've got that technique locked in first, then as they go through their natural progression as a kid and they hit those different growth cycles and curves, then they'll be able to take that power and actually know how to transfer it into the ice. But again, just like we talked about with, you know, the highest level of player, it's really understanding how to be able to unlock what you do have and put it into the ice surface.
Daryl Marchuk joins us from Perfect Skating. When I was a kid, I never heard about inside or outside edge. It was never even discussed.
Yeah.
Not at all. And now it's discussed quite a bit. And I go to coaching clinics because I coach and, you know, you have a few people that come in, okay, you have to work on inside and outside edge. And for somebody who didn't, I'm like, what are you talking? Like, I get it now. Of course, I've heard about it for many years, but it's amazing how much it's changed. I'm not old, but it's changed that drastically, or wasn't even really a consideration. And so are there ways that can get kids to learn how to understand the different feel from the inside edge to the outside edge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're on radio, so yeah. I can't draw something out. But yeah, and that's really like, I think people sometimes discredit the importance of the why. So you talk to players about why this is important. And then we really focus on feel. So a lot of the drills we do, it's, hey, here's your inside edge. Here's why it's important. But let's make you feel how it is to get into that position properly. Okay. Now we've locked that in. Okay. Now let's find that feel again. And same thing with outside edge. Let's find that feel. But the thing that's interesting, like you kind of focused on it with kids. You'd be surprised how many pro level players need to clean up the work on their inside and outside edge.
Like yeah.
when players truly have that control of their edge work, and they can find the flats of their skates and they can start to use their mass to create speed instead of constantly fighting against it. It unlocks so many things for them in their game.
Like, I know a lot of people, they watch Connor McDavid and he's the best skater in the game, arguably maybe the greatest skater in history of the NHL. And it's especially like, you know, there's guys like Bobby Orr and Paul Coffey and a few other ones, different types, but you know, McDavid, how he spins out of corners and his edge work and his own teammates, guys in the NHL who are like the top 1% of 1%. And they're still like this guy's on a whole other planet. So I don't think it's fair to say, okay, let's try to be like Connor McDavid because I'm not even sure he can, right? But you could, like, there's lots of other really, really good skaters that you can go for, but the size is so much different. Even in the NHL, like, look at Edmonton, for instance. They got Vincent Desharnais, and then you got Kyler Yamamoto. They're literally a foot difference. So how much, like, how would you have to adjust individual kids? Because there's some 12-year-olds that can be 8 inches bigger than other 12-year-olds.
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. So in terms of, I'll start with a more generalized statement. Like, there are certain constants to good movement on the ice that are there. They've been there since great skaters, you know, from great skaters in the past all the way till now, you know, good dorsiflexion and mass control and all those things. But absolutely, like you used the two great examples. Like if you look at Desharnais and put him beside Kyler Yamamoto, I don't think it would be reasonable to think those two players would move the same. And just to clarify, like, this isn't an analysis of Desharnais skating or Yamamoto's, and I'll get into, you know, some of the things that big guys have challenges with. But since we're in the Edmonton market, let's talk about, you know, two guys that get a lot of attention. So you mentioned Connor, and then let's talk about Leon. So even those two bodies are so different, right? Their height, their build, their torso to leg ratio, the way that Leon's Q angle, so the way his femur exits his hips and his pelvis, the way that happens, like, he's never going to skate the same way that Connor's going to skate. So what we work on is finding those constants or knowing those constants, teaching them the players, but then teaching them in a way that works for their body. And then again, it comes to that feel. So now, all right, you know how that feels and works well with your body. Now let's refine it.
Okay.
And let's keep working with that. So yeah, you work from the constants into how does this get tailored for your body. And then if we talk about, you know, a guy like Desharnais, big guy problems are real when it comes to movement, right? Okay. Like, everybody talks about, like, oh, I wish I was 6'5". It's like, well, do you? Cause there's things that those guys have to work through. And
like, what's the big, cause I know he mentioned for a big guy, puck skills are definitely a challenge for him for sure. But from a skating perspective, what's the biggest one?
Again, generalization, not, an analysis of Desharnais skating here. But in the end, we think about length of levers. Everything that a large player is doing is done on a scale where, you know, if they're bigger, they're heavier, their lever length is longer. It's going to affect, you know, a little bit of their center of mass being off just a little bit is going to affect them more once it gets to the level of the ice and that weight transfer, more than it will with a player who might skate in a little bit more compact fashion, who might be a little bit shorter. So really, when we've worked with some of our athletes who are 6'5", 6'6", what we really focus on is it starts with that blade control. And as soon as they understand that, it starts to unlock some things. And then the other thing that players really forget about, and actually all players, I find this is a struggle with them, but especially, you know, bigger, heavier athletes, like, we ask athletes to have quick toes, or you hear it all the time, be on your toes, have quick toes. Well, if you're like 6'5", 225 pounds, it's hard to be light. So players need to, it's not just about stride technique. It's about understanding when to lift weight off the feet, how to extend from the hip. So the game is very much played from 90 degrees to 160 degrees. And there's a lot of players that they just try to skate close to 90 degrees. The head doesn't move. Players have to start to understand the feel of when to lift the weight off the skate, when to drop it back down, when to get light so they can have those quick toes. And big players, larger players, it's just something that you have to work through a little more with them. In order to start to refine that technique.
Daryl Marchuk joins us, Hamilton Sports Leader, TSN 1260 from Perfect Skating. Now, everybody always wants to get quicker at skating, right? That to me is like the one thing. You know, speed for skating, there's benefits from it. But how do you do it? Does it have to be off the ice? Is it a combination of both? How do you get quicker?
Oh, that's a loaded question. And I guess so, you know, the really, again, it's different for each player. If I'm going to make some more generalized statements in terms of things that we see with athletes and things they struggle with, like you hear coaches all the time, be like, get into your toes, be on your toes. And it's funny. So we'll go work with a group of young athletes and I'll be like, hey, hands up if you've ever had a coach tell you, be on your toes. And every hand goes up.
Yeah.
And then my second question is, all right, who knows what that actually means? And like 3/4 of the hands go down. And then, all right, who actually knows how to find that or what that feels like? And now there's maybe one or two hands up. And so as a more generalized statement, if we think about how movement is created on the ice, most of it is driven through the toe. And so even backwards movement, right? Like a good backward start, you swivel the hips and you still have to drive through the toe. So it's teaching players to really understand where to optimize their body positioning so they can keep that pressure in the part of the skate, whether it's the toe or the odd skill where they are trying to drive through the heel, that they know how to find that. And that is something that a lot of players really struggle with unlocking, is just getting into that right position to allow themselves to be quick.
Now, you have some camps right now in Edmonton. You've been in Edmonton, you know, for a bit. But I went online and they're limited now. You guys are almost sold out. So obviously, because you guys have been doing this across Canada and North America for a while, what's kind of the main focus in your camps? And for people who do want to get into any of them, how do they do it?
Yeah, so we've got two main streams of programming. So the first one is our Perfect Skating program, and that's what we've talked a lot about so far on the show and movement. And starting to get players to understand their body better on the ice and remove asymmetries. And it's actually with all of our NHL athletes, that's what they start with each year. So just for any of you young athletes out there, understand, like, even the best players in the world continue to work on their skating every year. So we start from that platform with all of our NHL athletes. And then, so you'll see our Perfect Skating program. And then the second program, which is really important and something that I'm glad we're going to be able to bring up, like, in the end, the game is played with the puck. So if we never have lost sight of what we do is to increase your actual game performance and game skill. So if the way you're moving, you can't handle a puck, or it puts your body in a position where your stick, the lie of your stick, you can't catch a pass, like none of that, then it really doesn't matter. So,
yes,
you know, our Perfect Skating program, we make sure that we start to introduce some of the puck skills associated with proper mapping. So starting to map the right skills in. And then we have a program called our Small Area Movement program. So when we're constantly analyzing and refining our method. And as we did the research at the NHL level, it's clear that most of the game happens in a 10-foot radius. And so the Small Area Movement program is now taking those patterns, putting them into those radiuses that the game's played in, adding speed and adding pressure. And those things are incredibly important. So with our programming, you know, we want to make sure that athletes get a lot of individualized attention. So our main streams of programming, we have a maximum of 12 skaters on the ice. We have a minimum of 3 coaches because we want to make sure that those athletes actually get attention and focus detail to properly map the skills in so they can transfer it to the game. And that Small Area Movement program is now our coaches pressuring, chasing, correcting. And so the players are learning those puck skills that are mapping to the foot component. And to me, that's one thing that can sometimes get lost with, you know, the traditional power skating method. Like, it's not, when we think about a skill, like, let's say a rudder turn, a hard turn on the ice, like, we know there's certain things that also happen from at the level of the hips and the core and the hands. And so if we're not mapping those in at the same time, then it's not realistic to believe that it's going to transfer to gameplay as well. So those are things that we focus on a lot with the small area movement program.
Now, before I let you go, and I apologize if I'm going to put you on the spot here. What about rehab coming back from injury, skating? Because a lot of times, like, okay, you know what, geez, am I feeling good? My groin, my knee, whatever it is. And it's like, okay, go skate now. And I don't know enough about it, but part of me is like, if it's all about mechanics, should there be a proper rehab skate factor, not just, oh, you feel good, we've done all the testing, now you go skate?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. You're not putting me on the spot. In my opinion, even some at the level of the NHL, this isn't always done, you know, well. So certain organizations have this, some are kind of just coming around to it. But if we think about kind of the rehab process for a player, you're asking a player to start to, you know, remove pain first and then get stronger off the ice. All that's happening. But then you have to have somebody that can communicate with the physio and actually do it on the ice, because we know that skating is a unique movement. And then
yes,
when players are injured, whether, especially if you add a surgery, players have lost proprioception, their ability to feel where their body is in space. And so, for example, we worked with one local pro through, he tore his Achilles. And so there were times where he thought his body was in a certain position and it wasn't. And if you don't actually correct that on the ice and get that feel back and proper range of motion with good communication with the physio, then that player is going to, because they feel like they're doing it the same way, they're going to end up going into a scenario where they're playing in a game and there's a deficiency. They're not sure why they're not, you know, hitting that turn as fast or accelerating as quickly or whatever it may be. And now they're struggling a little bit more. And then that can lead to, you know, confidence issues, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it is so important. It's something that we do a fair bit. I know, you know, I mentioned Sean in Colorado. He works extensively with their players. And, you know, being able to chat with them, it's really interesting. Some of the techniques they use and how they synergistically work with the physio, to make sure that the player's back. But yeah, I would recommend to anybody listening, if, you know, you're an athlete yourself, or you have a young athlete who's gone through a major injury or, you know, a surgery especially, then, you know, make sure you reach out to us or a qualified professional who can actually, you know, speak a similar language to the physio, communicate properly, and rebuild that movement pattern properly. Or else all you're doing is creating a situation where we term it the overpowered athlete.
Okay.
And that's where that athlete just, you know, hey, I got to go harder. That's my only way to
yeah,
get better at this. And we've just got to rebuild that.
Work
problem.
Smarter, not harder,
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah,
that
that's right.
Sense.
That's right.
Perfectskating.ca is where you can go check out, you know, any what you guys do, your motto, and lots of different viewpoints on skating and anything else. And if there's anybody in the Edmonton area who is looking for a few camps, it has it right on the site. Actually, if you're listening online, you can go to all over the place. I see you guys are in you're in Barrie, you're in lots of different locations all across the country.
Yeah, we're starting to expand. It's you know, the passion from our coaches. We started in that Ottawa area, but you know, we found something that, you know, we feel works and is unique and can help athletes all over. And so we've started to focus on some expansion, and that brought us out here and to some other markets as well.
Awesome. Well, Daryl, thanks for this. And more importantly, man, thanks for supporting Gregor's grad and one of the graduates. They'll really appreciate
it. Yeah,
that.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.